The messages have been pretty heavy because they've focused on how we are to treat one another when we have major disagreements. So we talked about our disagreements and dealt with the reality that at this point in our history, we have a lot of them, and we haven't necessarily done a great job at responding to each other in the midst of them. And so the things that Paul wrote, especially in Romans chapter 14, were probably maybe confronting, maybe convicting to many of us. Another thing that in talking with some friends from the church that might add to the heaviness is that we've probably realized that we're never going to agree about all of these things. And you might be left with kind of that sober feeling that the best that it's going to get is us just trying to put up with each other. And that's not very exciting. When it comes to unity and harmony in the church family, as long as we can just put up with one another, that's as good as it gets. Well, that's not as good as it gets, all right? That's not as good as it gets, and that's good news. We can have the expectation of a harmony and unity that is far better. And for that reason, the sermon series doesn't end in Romans 14. Romans 15 turns a corner. And what Paul says, he kind of goes from talking about their disagreements to talking about the harmony that he has a vision for that church. And I wanted to share some verses in particular in Romans chapter 15. I'll have them up here on the screen, I believe. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. So what he says in these verses, I love these verses, especially for the times that we're in right now. He says this, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live," and he's praying this, he's praying this blessing over the people in Rome, and it's really, I think, can be understood for us as well. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another," and listen to the harmony, "in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, I love that sentence. "With one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." And that really gets down to the heart of it, why Romans 14 matters. You know, at the very beginning of this sermon series, I talked about the mercy of God. We have to understand God's mercy for us if we're and experience that if we're going to be compelled to obey what he tells us to do in Romans chapter 12 through 15, because as we've looked at, he's asked us to do some things that are very hard, I would say, if not impossible in our own strength. We need to be compelled by the love of Christ, and the reason that we obey these things is that we might glorify our God and Savior, that we might glorify Jesus Christ, that we might represent him well by the way that we live our lives, especially in difficult times like these. So Paul's vision for this church in Rome, that was a church of both Jews and Gentiles who disagreed with each other on some major stuff, but in spite of all their differences, Paul's vision for them that they would live in such harmony with one another that together with one voice they would glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so learning to put up with one another is not as good as it gets. Okay? Romans 14 isn't where we end. We go on to Romans 15, okay? We go on to Romans 15. God glorifying harmony and togetherness is as good as it gets. That's what Paul wanted for them. That's what God wants for us. That's what I think many of us want for us as well. And so rather than preaching a normal sermon this Sunday, we're going to do something different. The idea for this sermon or this service came a couple of weeks ago from a friend as we were talking about how about the heaviness of this sermon series. And I could see Paul's focus shift in chapter 15 to being very positive and hopeful as he wrapped up this section of Romans. And I wanted us to do that as well. I wanted us to make that shift as a church family. And the idea of praising God for the blessings that he's given us through the church family came to mind. Let's with one voice glorify God by praising him for all the good that he's brought us through the people in our church family. Okay, yes, we have our differences. That's become known and more clear over these months and especially the past few weeks. These differences have been brought to the surface, but we have been blessed by one another in so many ways. And I think that we need to turn our focus on to these things now. Our differences, my hope is these will fade more and more into the background. I think that's where they belong most of the time. And so this morning we're going to glorify God by blessing one another. We're going to shift the mode here. Like, it's easy for you to, or easy for me actually, to sit up here and preach, and probably comfortable for you to sit there and, you know, listen and see what you think. But I want to break out of kind of that this morning. I want us to try to get comfortable enough to share with one another as a church family. You know, you probably don't know everybody in this room, but hopefully you see, as you look around, you see you're among family. You're among brothers and sisters in Christ, people who love one another, who share many wonderful, wonderful blessings in common. And so we're going to take some time this morning, the rest of our time, to share stories, to give words of appreciation for people in the church family, whether they're here or not this morning. There's some people who are watching on Facebook. Other people watch later in the week. And so we're going to take some time to share our appreciation for what others have done for us and for others in the church family. So you can share a story or several stories. You can share a word of encouragement. You can share a praise. Let's recount all the ways that God has blessed us through one another. The idea is that with one voice, we will glorify God and remind us of what's most important and why it's so wonderful to be a part of this church family. There have been times where at family gatherings during Thanksgiving, which is coming up in just a couple weeks, we will gather around as a family and just, you know, share some of the things. And we've done that as a church family on Thanksgiving. You share some of the things we're thankful for. And that's kind of the atmosphere I'm hoping we can have this morning. We've got a microphone up here so that people can hear. I realize it can be uncomfortable to kind of come up front here. I hope that you're compelled enough to overcome that discomfort this morning. We're just some instructions on the microphone. It's set up so that hopefully it'll pick you up as you talk. We're trying to avoid common touch surfaces, so I can adjust the microphone if you're super tall or shorter and take care of that for you. Try to speak into the microphone. Josh is going to raise it up and down, but we can only raise it so far, so you can't stand back too far before we get feedback and loud stuff starts to happen. You can make your way to if you want to share, just make your way up to the front row at any time. We've especially got space over here and a little bit over here. Tim's coming forward. I'd like to see that. That way, that means I don't have to go first even. I can share a little bit later. Let me just see if I'm forgetting anything. I think that's it. So hopefully you'll be able to hear. Tim, you want to share first? You can step up to the mic.
Hey, good morning. I'm Tim. My wife and I were, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. Anyway, my wife and I were put in this church, I think partially because, but we're politically probably different than a lot of people in this church. And I don't believe in talking about politics at all in church. But anyway, so this is a story, and it really has to do with what Eric's been talking about. This God's making me do this. Tracker the Puppet this morning talked about the same subject. Anyway, so apparently God's slapping me around some more and telling me I got to do this. But this happened about 3-4 years ago. And One guy at our church here, I think he figured out that I stood differently politically than him. So he certainly wanted to straighten me out and let me know how wrong I am. And so he kind of grabbed me one morning before church, started talking about stuff and really kind of making me mad. It's like, so then I wanted to top him, of course, and tell him how wrong he is, because, I mean, what a moron, right? Because he's totally opposite of me. And of course, he's telling me how wrong I am. And, you know, and it kind of made me mad. And then the following week, you know, he did the same thing. And then, of course, now I'm ready for a fight. You know, it's like, so I'm starting to go up to him and, you know, and telling him my viewpoint. And really getting to be, it really kind of escalated, at least in my side, because I'm really getting mad. I'm like, this guy's just really ticking me off. So I'm really getting angry. I'm coming to church. I'm supposed to be, you know, in a good mood and loving everybody. And this guy says, I'm not loving him so much. And part of it is my favorite verse in the Bible, which I just hate. I hate this verse, but it's my favorite verse. It says in Ephesians, it says to treat others. One of the versions of it is treat others as though they're more important than me. Well, I'm thinking of getting that verse removed if we can. I don't know. I don't like that one, but it's my favorite verse, and it's like it's so challenging. I don't know if you guys know of some way to get it out of there. I'd help you with it. But it's like I'm the most important person I know. I mean, I'm self-centered. So what do I do about this? And of course, God's in charge. I'm not. So he really whacked me over the head and really talked to me about this. So this went on for like 3 weeks. So like the third week, okay, I know what to do. God told me what to do. And this isn't me, because I don't want to do this, okay? After church, I went up to him. I shook his hand. And I said, I apologize. I've been trying to be better than you. And that's totally wrong. Why am I doing this? And I apologize to you. I hope you can forgive me, I told him. He looked a little shocked. actually, he was real contrite about it, too. Ever since then, I mean, we don't talk about that anymore. We love each other. I could feel his love. I love him. We don't talk about that anymore. I think it fits in exactly what we've been talking about, because, you know, we all know how right we are and how I have to convince this guy that how wrong he is. And God made me change all of that. And this wasn't me. I'm not pointing at myself, because I didn't want to do that. You know, I really hate this guy, or at least I did when we talked about this, and it's making me mad, and I'll show him. This is all the power of God doing this. The love in our church, the Pastor Eric's, what we talk about all the time, and it's just really, and this was 3 or 4 years ago, and we're not like the best buddies, but we're certainly nice to each other and love each other, I've been wanting to get this out, because like I said, the puppet this morning was talking about it. And I know, because I kind of know that puppet. And it's like, oh, man, I got to talk about this. So that's what I'm trying to say is that this is where God led me to. And, of course, totally against what I wanted to do, because I didn't want to do that. I wanted to convince this guy that he's wrong and I'm right. That's been a good lesson for me. And I still hate that verse. So it's a terrible verse. I don't know what it's doing in there, but. And it's just so hard to conform to that. And thank you. That's the end of my story.
Hi, everybody. I guess one thing that I'm really thankful for that I consider a huge blessing, and it was made a lot more, I guess, real to me in the last few months, was the value of our child care workers at church here. The people that work in Discovery Land and work with the young kids, if you're parents and you had your kids in the pew beside you for a couple months, I bet you have been breathing a long sigh of relief for the past 6 weeks or so. I know I have. And the thing that makes it such a tremendous blessing, on top of just the fact that they don't have to be in here, and no offense, Eric, but I don't think they follow along very well with the sermon. So some of them might not be getting a whole lot when they're sitting in here. But when they go back there in Discovery Land and with the younger kids, those people are working with them, and they're teaching them, and they're proclaiming the gospel into those little kids. And you saw them up here this morning. I mean, it's just, it's a huge blessing to me. It means that I know my kids are getting, they're hearing the gospel in a way that's relevant to them, that they can understand and is at their level. And at the same time, I don't have to be constantly being like, shh, put your mask on, you know, in the pew for the whole service and missing out on everything else. So thank you to the child care workers. And I also want to say, like, whenever I see them back there, when I go to pick up my kids, if that was me and I had just had my kids for an hour and a half, I would be done. And they aren't. They are always cheerful, and you can tell that God has gifted them to do that. And so it's a huge blessing to me and my wife. So thank you if you work in Discovery Land or with young children. And that's all.
I wanted to share some things. I think I can use your name, right? Too late now, huh? No, don't. Janelle Johnson shall remain nameless. Janelle's been here for about 35 years and just says she has so many things to appreciate and be thankful for. One of the things that she mentions is, first of all, the people behind the scenes, such as those who make the coffee, clean, work in the office, her offering counting team, the sound booth, the teachers, etc. And I think that what's the word? Imitates or echoes. There it is. Whew, that took a while I didn't even actually make it to my mind. You had to say it. Wow. That echoes what Ed was saying. And some of the, like, I thought, man alive, there are so many people who do such wonderful things behind the scenes, you know, with all these different things that Janelle mentioned, and, you know, food preparation, making coffee in the morning, like who clears the snow, mowing the lawn, does yard cleanup, all of these things that I'm so thankful for, too. She says, I appreciate the time Ed puts in on worship team, and Chris for being okay with it. When he leads, we practice not only on Sunday mornings, but also Thursday night prior, which helps us work out any kinks ahead of the Sunday morning rush and also unites us. He leads us in prayer at the start of each practice, asking if we have any prayer requests. I don't think I'm the only one who appreciates that. It cements us together to share prayer requests and pray together. There's just something extra about that. The deacons, visiting with my husband at certain times when they've stopped to borrow tables or helped with the deems storage, or last fall when Vern came and cut wood, or Greg Stokes, who also filled our trailer multiple times with wood last fall when we just haven't had time to cut because of working on our son's house. Jan Nielsen. I didn't know her that well until both our kids were in youth group and she was a leader. I think there were some fundraising efforts of some sort going on, and she scheduled a 5K walk run I couldn't make it that day, so asked if we could walk together at a later date since she lives only a few miles from me. We've now been walking together regularly for years and expand our numbers, and she's one of my best friends. I love her heart, and she has been such a blessing in my life. Her whole family has been. Really, the majority of my closest friends are from my church. There's just something about that spiritual connection. Nancy Olson, her gift of hospitality and also organizing. She was the one who originally set up guitar lessons at the church for so many of us. Though I'm not nearly as gifted as most on the worship team, it's so fun, it's so much fun, and I'm thankful they let me play. I wouldn't find the time to practice if I didn't need to for worship team. And you're playing this morning, so yeah. I also remember when Nate was first on worship team, and he was so quiet and shy, and look at him now, leading worship and an elder. I appreciate Ethan and his guys' Bible study group, that they worked around my son's difficult work schedule and found a time that worked for him to join them. I love the enthusiasm of Elaine, Rosemary, Cindy, Tim, and some of those who have gone before us. So many bless us with their gifts and their time. I know I love my church family. So thank you, Janelle, for sharing those things. Others, come on forward.
I've been a part of this church since my mother and dad lived just down East Lincoln in a little house and brought six of us. I always tell Marcia, her little family reminds me of ours when we came here. So I've been part of this church for many, many years. Well, and have been blessed tremendously. And the one thing that has blessed me this year has been our young people and their families. When they came to our house October 14th, and in an hour and a half cleaned this huge yard from leaves in a massive effort, I was shocked at the joy and the participation of those people who had done this for my husband and I. As you know, my husband is in the nursing home now, recuperating and trying from hip surgery and to transition home eventually. But that day was the highlight of my whole year, and it will bless me for years to come when I think of our young people and the joy of their moms and dads joining together. And we had so much fun in that hour and a half, and I just am so grateful, so very grateful. Every time in the past I've gotten involved with children, which I have from the time I got married, actually, was babysitting for our neighborhood. And from then on, through the years here, I have been blessed tremendously. But every time I get involved with the young people, they so bless me. The young people, the teenagers we have in this church are amazing. And it has been through many, many years that I've been reminded of the blessing of our teenagers. They are remarkable children, and that's you parents. You parents have nurtured them in the Lord. Partnering together, we do, our teachers and the parents, in bringing those children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing what a tiny church can do and reach out to the ends of the world with the gospel this way. Thank you so much.
Testing, testing. Volume is good. Can you make me sound less nervous? Yeah, I would much rather be sitting out there listening to all of you take turns saying what you like about me, but I suggested this whole thing to Eric, so I thought I'd better come up here and say something. And yeah, I started thinking about the things that I like about East Lincoln Alliance Church, and right away I realized it's not things that I like about this church, right? It's the people. It's all of you. It's not the amazing architecture that brings me back here every week, or that really fun rope that I have to walk under in the parking lot, or the well in the middle of the parking lot. You know, all fun stuff, but that's not what keeps me coming back. It's the people that make this church. So I was just thinking back. We've only been part of East Lincoln for not even 5 years yet, but I was thinking back over our time here. I remember the first Sunday we visited, just being really impressed with Eric's preaching. And that's something that I have continued to really appreciate about this church. He's so committed to glorifying God, to honoring the Scripture, and using Scripture to point us to God rather than to glorify himself. And so I love that about this church. Our leaders, our pastor's heart to know God and to help us know God and to follow him closely. I remember after that first Sunday, we, you know, were the kind of people that like to sort of sneak away, but we could not get out of here without Randy stopping us and welcoming us and, you know, just saying that he was so glad to see us and, you know, get to know our learn our names and all that stuff. Perry was another one when we were new here that would always talk to us in the lobby. He's just an awesome connector, welcomer. A couple weeks after we started here, the Justices, Paul and Rachel Justice and their kids took us out to lunch at the Village Pizzeria, just again to welcome us as a new family, to make us feel invited here. Wendy Bachman had us over to dinner at her house. You know, just this, it's so, such a part of this church. It's welcoming. You know, we want you to be here. We want you to feel welcome here, part of this community. I remember Nate Olson kept inviting me to do things with him outside of church, and I tried so hard to shake him off. Like, no, I don't want to go play basketball. I don't want to play tennis. I don't want to do that. But he just would not take no for an answer. He kept trying, and I'm so glad because now we're great friends. So thank you, Nate, if you're listening. I love Ed's heart for worship and the whole, all of the worship team, for sure. But you're so transparent. You're so vulnerable. Your heart is so much a part of worship. And I know that's probably not always comfortable. It would probably be a lot easier for you to just kind of go into performance mode. I love your desire to lead us as a church into that place of worship. And you do it so well. So thank you for that. And I don't see Jim today, but every time he plays the saxophone, it's like the Holy Spirit is in this room singing over us. I just love that. So thank you, Jim, for your gift. I so miss Elaine's shouts of hallelujah and amen and affirmation during Eric's sermons. Cindy's not here today, but she's filling in pretty good in that role. Just that enthusiasm from those guys. I remember not long after my wife Jessica took over the preschool part of Discovery Land, there were a lot more kids in there at that point, and we were kind of overwhelmed. We were sort of at the point of throwing up our hands, like, we cannot control these monsters. And Randy and Mary came in one weekend, and all of a sudden it was like, Like, they just worked their magic with these kids and, you know, set this little list of just simple rules. But they're so gifted. Their heart for kids is so amazing. I continue to be impressed by that. I love our church's heart for missions, that I'm constantly reminded of all that God is doing outside of these walls. It can be so easy to get focused on our little world, but I love the ongoing mission statements and highlights, and, you know, just hearing about what God is doing in different parts of the world through people that are connected to East Lincoln. And it's not just, one of my favorite things about this church is that it's not just Sunday mornings. Like, we, as a church, we do life together. There's so much that happens outside of these walls as a church. We have made just awesome connections through small groups, where, you know, the people in this church have become our community, the people that we hang out with. Our kids play together, and we seek God together during the week, you know, not just on Sunday mornings. We've had awesome game nights, like at the Marquands. If you ever want to see Brad blush, just ask him to tell you the goat story. awesome game nights at the Koenigs. I remember we had a New Year's Eve party there, and we were committed to leaving by 9 o'clock so that the kids could get to bed. And then we said, okay, for sure by 10. All right, we are definitely out of here at 11 o'clock. Okay, as soon as the ball drops, we're going home. It was just, you know, it was so fun. The Westers have had us up to their place before. Rick invited us up one spring so the kids could see all the new little calves. And, you know, they gave us lunch and just welcomed us into their home. It's so much a part of this church community. Another highlight that came to my mind was this spring when Rosemary organized the big surprise celebration for Eric when we were out running. And we, you know, she had been talking to me about that, and I remember we came up over the hill, and then I was expecting to see this huge group of people at this bridge over the river, and there was nobody there. And I thought, oh man, nobody showed up, not even Rosemary. But then a little further away, everybody was there, a huge group. It was such an awesome turnout from the church. And it's that kind of thing that I think just really portrays our church family well. All those people coming together just to have fun, to celebrate life together. So, yeah, thank you. I look so forward to being with Jesus face to face one day, but until then, you guys are the hands and feet of Jesus, and in so many ways, you have been Jesus to me. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for doing life together with me. And yeah, let's remember that these past few weeks, this year has been heavy, it's been hard, it's been difficult, but we are so much more than what divides us. And there's so much to celebrate and to hold on to and to fight for. We're not going to be here forever. There are good things on the horizon.
So I wasn't really planning on talking, but we've been members of this church since about 94, 95. And our best friends are here. And we do things outside of church with our friends and in church. And the kids came to our house on Wednesday night in September. And what a difference in 2 hours, and they had so much fun doing it. And my husband was able to come out and enjoy it. Now he passed away the 1st of October. But I felt all along while he was sick and hurting, everybody supported me. And I remember coming here for his service and all my friends, and that everybody was in the kitchen or doing this and that and making this that day really special. And And I still feel like everybody's behind me, so thank you. I wish I could name a bunch of names and come up with a list, like, but I just appreciate every one of you.
Ed and I have been coming here for 11 years, and we followed other friends here. I don't think we ever would have found East Lincoln if we hadn't had a connection here. And we just felt really at home right away. It was just such a wonderful family atmosphere of all ages. We just really appreciated that, how warm and friendly an atmosphere and just a biblically based group of believers, and we just felt so much support right away. You know, the first day we were here, Kathy Schwanke came up to me and got to know me a little bit, and it was like, wow, you know, I just didn't expect to be, you know, in conversation and getting to know people, like, right off the bat, and just that kind of atmosphere has just been consistent, and this congregation has really been family for us here because we came here when we didn't even have any family in the area. And so to be surrounded by an extended family has been a real gift for us. And when we started coming here, it was a particularly challenging time for us as we were working through adoption, and we just were really surrounded. You guys were the ones who really were our family through that. And you came to our fundraisers and you just prayed us through. I don't know, let's see. Like 5 difficult years of adoption processes. Just tough, and you guys were the ones who helped us and had our baby shower, and now as we're 9 years into difficult parenting, you guys are the ones who are with us still, and we just really appreciate that and feel your support in so many ways as we go through one challenging time into another. And you know, this last episode of Ed needing back surgery, you know, our neighbors, the Danielsons, came and rescued us from our out-of-control lawn and mowed our lawn for us and helped just take care of some of those daily things that we were not able to manage. And you guys have brought us firewood when we were in crisis and helped us move when we were in crisis. And we just said, you guys have really waded in deep with us, and we've really appreciated all the support that we've had. And we consider this our extended family here. So we're very thankful.
Hi, I'm Robin. I've been coming here for 20 years, or maybe a little bit better. And over the years, it seemed that this church became more and more my family, and probably more than my own family. And when Eric had put on the email about, you know, wanting this to be something to be grateful for and how that we help each other, especially during what's going on now, and I'm thinking, I probably have thousands of stories, and how do you pick? And so I was just thinking of, like, something that was real recent. But actually, I'd kind of like to tell a little one. About a week and a half ago, I'd gotten real sick. And I live alone, and my fear always of living alone is, what if I fall? You know, and my phone isn't by me, how am I going to reach somebody? Or what if I get really sick, you know, and I'm by myself, and, you know, when you're sick, you know, how are you going to clean up after yourself, make yourself something to eat, and things like that. And so 2.5 days into being sick, all I've been doing was just drinking water. I didn't have anything at the house. And I was real weak. I was so sick to my stomach, and I was getting stomach pains and, you know, all that stuff that comes with being sick, and I couldn't talk very well. So I shot out a quick text to my prayer team, you know, that we have here at the church. And so Jan Nilsson responds right away. Oh, is there anything you can need, you know, do you need, you know? And so I'm like, I could really use ginger ale or, you know, beef or chicken broth, Jell-O, you know, I'm just going down the line. And so then about 10 o'clock at night, she comes from Clear Lake all the way to Amory and to bring me a few things that I could use over the night. And then that right away Sunday morning, she says, Robin, is there anything you can need? You know, is there more that I can get you? So she goes to the grocery store and loads me up with all kinds of broth and pop and different kinds of juices and Jell-Os and crackers and you name it. I mean, it was so overwhelming. And, you know, it was like overnight I got better because I needed nutrients and just water just wasn't cutting it. But anyways, it was just nice to know that even being, you know, a single woman living alone, that I don't have to worry about that, you know, I'm not going to be taken care of. But the one that was the most touching to me was when my dad got really sick. And in 1 week, he had died 3 times at the hospital. And it was so overwhelming. And I have a little brother that's 15, and he's autistic, and, you know, and so somebody has to be there to take care of him. And so we had all these fears and all these things, and he had been sick for a year, and none of us kids had known it because he would never want us over. And so if we got together, he'd want to go to our place, and he always just seemed like he was okay, but he really wasn't. And so the house was real bad. It smelled real sick. It was just filthy. Dishes everywhere, laundry piled high, dog hair everywhere. It was just disgusting, and we didn't know it. We didn't know he was that sick. So when we got the call that he was rushed to the hospital, me and my son had rushed to my dad's, and it was so overwhelming. There was no food. You know, I didn't have a car to get back and forth to my dad's, and so my son would stay there overnight. And so then it began of, how am I going to get there? Where am I going to get car gas? How am I going to get food into that house? He didn't have anything. He didn't have laundry baskets or hangers or just simple things like that. And so when I started to share the struggles that I was going through at my dad, and my dad constantly died, the next thing I knew, I was getting gift cards to the gas station. And then Christine Melman stepped up and said, you know, if you ever need to use my car to get out there, you can use my car to get out there. Then Cindy Hoff would come over and she would help me clean and scrub the house from walls to curtains to the bathroom to the floors, you name it. And we were just pitching stuff out. And then the church had helped me with groceries, gas carts. The caring team had helped me with gas carts. And then individuals started stepping up saying, you know what, we have bedding, we have this is extra. And in that 2 weeks, even though it seemed like such a nightmare, and even though my dad doesn't come to this church, you guys were so great. And I would have never made it if you hadn't helped. And when my dad got out of the hospital and he got home and he couldn't believe it, he says, how am I going to repay anybody? I can't repay anybody. And I said, Dad, you don't have to repay anybody. It's because they love me, they love you, they understand what's going through, and they just wanted to help. And so he was just so grateful and couldn't believe that people that didn't know him was so willing to help him out like that. And so I am so grateful. And I'm just so thankful to everybody to help me through that time. I have one more story. This was a couple of winters ago. I was really struggling, and I was trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do for groceries. So I came to church, and Amy Danielson comes walking up to me. She says, hey, Robin, you know what? We've got some venison we would love to give you. So I got excited. So Eric brought over the venison, and it made for an interesting winter because we'd see the packages, it'd say Caleb venison or Caleb deer. And so one day for breakfast, it said Amy sausage. So we got excited. We're going to have sausage. So we open up the package, and here there's another wrapping. And it says, like, I think it was venison steaks. So then we went to open it up. So it wasn't even the sausage. It ended up being steaks. And so for that whole winter, we based what we were going to have around of what we saw on the packages. So we would never believe it said a venison roast because we wouldn't. It'd be like something different. So we'd have to wait until we opened the package of what the side dishes were. And so that was just so exciting. It made for a great winter. And so then it brings me to this morning when on the way here, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do again for groceries. Because my dad got sick again. And so it's been costly to go out there often to help him out. And I mean, I would never not think about not doing it, you know. But it takes extra money, you know, to run back and forth and to help out. And so I was trying to figure out, again, what I was going to do for groceries. And, of course, meat is always so costly. So then I talked to the Westers, and they didn't have a lot of meat, but they had some, you know, that I could have. And so then this morning when I called them, they're like, you know what, you know, things aren't working out. We're not going to come to church. And I'm thinking, well, I got enough meat for 3 days. And I said, you know what, it's Sunday. There's nothing I can do about it today. I'm okay for 3 days. So then I'm in the prayer room and I'm praying, you know, and there's a lot to pray about, you know, for the church. And so then when we're all done and I walk into the foyer and here's Eric. Hey, good morning, Robin. Hey, good morning, Eric. Hey, guess what? We have venison. And then I'm like so excited, you're trying to contain yourself. And he's like, no, Robin, we have a lot of venison. So I'm trying to contain myself. And again, he says, no, Robin, we have a lot of venison that we could give you. So I was just so excited. So I just wanted to say thank you again. So thank you.
I don't know who said, Kent, come on forward. Who said, you know, what do you share? Because there's thousands of things you could share. And that's kind of, I mean, I've been here 20 years too, and there's thousands of things that I could share and about so many people, probably everyone. So I did want to share about, you know, I network with a lot of pastors, and a common thing among pastors is it's loneliness and isolation. You know, they feel like they're alone. And whenever the guys are talking about that, I'm like, I don't know what that's like. I don't know what that's like. In college, I had really close friends, and when I moved, you know, obviously none of them came with me. But over the past 20 years, I'm not going to start naming names, but many of you in this room are just dear friends, both brothers and sisters, who go out of your way to text me or call or email or spend time with me considerable amounts of time. And it's just awesome. I'm not alone. I'm never alone. I've shared before, it's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for everybody, but it's been so wonderful to have the support of the friendships of the different men and women from the church. So thank you. You know who you are. Thank you. So Kent, go ahead.
Adjusted for me, being COVID compliant. I don't have it all thought through. I really don't. And there's so many directions I could go. And all of it, I was recognizing as I was listening, all of it revolves around not being alone. Just what Eric said. How thankful am I for this church family and all the people who have displayed scripture in the way they live their lives. Like I often say it to the youth that it just is wonderful when I see Scripture come to life, when I'm seeing Scripture lived out. And that happens so much here, where we're going through Ephesians right now, and it says, as you read this in chapter 3, you will understand the mystery of Christ. And so we're doing our best to get in the Word. And so many of you are. And as you read those words, you start to get convicted and you start acting. And it says in the next chapter, in chapter 4, that all of that effort is to equip all of us with our gifts for the ministry, right? Of doing ministry together. And again, I'm just going to come back to, we're just not alone in it. We're doing it all together. I can't imagine life without my dear wife. And how, yeah. And having Tim be the first to come up and share, and losing Carol. I know one of the things we've done with Tim, in a really small way, but a really good way, is we've stepped into some space that is missing with her. And I know all of you would do that if I lost Carolee or Carolee lost me. But we're not in it alone. Her and I are together. But all of you are together with us. And more recently, just the beauty of worship team. Yeah, someone else, I don't remember who, was just very appreciative of Ed. And just this morning, Amy was joking about the Mary Poppins movie. You know, if we could get some cymbals on Ed's knees and the bass drum strapped to his back, maybe a trumpet somehow strapped to his frame. But the real thing is, just recently, as COVID has challenged us, all of a sudden, leaders in worship have been teamed together a little more. And it's been such a joy to be leading with Ron, or leading with, like this one, leading with Ed, and not being the one, you know, feeling the weight of, oh, if something goes wrong, now Ed can blame me and I can blame him if something goes wrong. It's not really that. It's just the joy of being in teamwork together. So thank everyone here. Thank you so much for just being a team together, doing our best to do ministry in our lives, in the lives of others, to affect our community, to affect the world. So just thank you.
It is getting late, and I think we're going to wrap up our time. For closing, we're going to close in a special way. First of all, thank you for sharing so much. God is glorified when we share like this. I think God's been glorified much this morning. We're going to close in a special way as the worship team is coming forward and getting set for our closing song. What I'd like for us to do, and I think we can still do this and recognize some social distancing. Last week we sang a song at the end of the service, and I heard a number of people say how big of a deal that was for them to sing a blessing over the church family. And so this morning, as we close, I'd like for you to just make your way out of your pew and circle up. We're going to have to go out to the fellowship, but all the way around the front, and family groups huddle close together, but then have some space between you and the next family group. But let's just quietly, as the worship team's getting ready, make our way out to the outside of the sanctuary. We're going to sing this closing song and sing it to one another, so you can do that. And I'm going to wait until you get there before I read this scripture that I think is fitting for this morning. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another,
And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I think in the stories that we've heard this morning, we've heard just the love of God expressed through the people of East Lincoln. And that's what's going to continue at East Lincoln. As we sing this closing song, I'm not going to have another closing prayer at the end of this. This is our closing prayer that we're going to sing and bless one another.